Welcome to the Geeky Grandma with an Encouraging Nudge podcast. Hi, my name is Jill McCarthy from Central New York State, and this is our
11th
podcast, and I'm so glad you're here.
Good morning. This morning I have Linda Bjork on my podcast, and she's got some really neat things to share. Let me read a bit of her bio, and then we'll let her fill us in with more of the details. Linda Bjork is a best-selling author, speaker, host of Linda's Corner podcast, and founder of the Hope for Healing nonprofit charity. Some of her books include Crushed, A Journey Through Depression, an Amazon bestseller, You Got This, an action plan to calm fears, anxiety, worry, and stress. Linda's personal mission is to empower people to become their best selves. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you, Jill. I'm so excited to be here with you today and to be able to help this wonderful group of people who are just like us, who are working through getting a little bit older and maybe making some changes in our lives. Maybe our kids are growing up and moving away. And this is a wonderful time of life.
Yes, it is. And we really have been blessed to have these later years that some of our ancestors never had a chance for that. And it gives us a chance for being more independent women again, something else they didn't have that ability to do that. So that is great. Speaking of children and taking care of all of that, why don't you give us a little more of your personal background and how you came to this point in your life?
Absolutely. So you gave such a beautiful bio, and I really appreciate that. And most of these things that you are describing, I started here and now. I haven't been doing it for 20 and 30 years. I started now as my kids are growing up and moving out because I have the time and the opportunity. And the reason that I do what I do is because of my story and who I am. So when I was growing up, I thought I wasn't good enough. I thought that I didn't matter. I thought that I was invisible. I was less than anybody else. And even though I felt broken, I could still function. I could still love my life. I could still serve people. I could still, get married and raise a family. I could do things. But then later on, I had a series of just unfortunate events that were just like perfectly tailored to destroy me. I was crushed, absolutely crushed. And I didn't handle it very well. I slipped into depression. I struggled with social anxiety. It felt like my comfort zone absolutely collapsed. I did not feel safe anywhere or with anyone. And I didn't feel happy. And it didn't matter what the circumstances were. A lot of people think, oh, you're happy if things on the outside are wonderful. That's not true. It comes from the inside out. And all I felt was darkness and emptiness. And it was like I had fallen in a deep, dark pit, and there were no windows and no doors in this deep, dark place. And I felt stuck. I thought, well, this is my new reality. From here on out, this is as good as it gets. And that's just the way it is. And I was in that place for about 5 years, but almost no one knew because I was very good at masking. I was good at serving. I was good at being invisible because that's what I did. And then my sister, who was training to become a life coach, she invited me to come to a women's retreat that she was hosting. And when I got her invitation, Jill, I thought, no way. There is no way. First of all, I cannot handle being around other people for day and night. This was a 3 days up at this mountain retreat thing, this condo. And I thought, can't do that. And I didn't think it would work anyway, because I was stuck. I was trapped. I was miserable, and that was just the way it was going to be. But even though I didn't want to go, the idea wouldn't leave my mind. And so I gathered my courage together and I went. And that decision changed my life. It was as if my sister lowered a ladder down into my deep, dark hole. Even though there were no windows and there were no doors, there was a way to climb out. And it was very much a ladder. It wasn't an elevator where with one little press of a button, all of a sudden you feel fantastic and you're all better. It was a ladder. And it took time and it took effort and it was hard, but it worked. And through my experiences, I have learned that healing is not like flipping on a light switch where it's instant. It is like a sunrise where the change comes from moment to moment, just gradually. But it does come and it's beautiful. So because of my experiences, it is now my passion to help empower other people to be able to progress, to be able to get unstuck, to be able to be happy, to be able to just any kind of personal growth that they're interested in. And that is the purpose of my books. That is the purpose of my podcast. And that is the purpose of my nonprofit, to be able to empower people to become their best selves. Because I know what it's like to be stuck in a dark place, and it's not very fun. So that is who I am and why I do what I do.
Thank you very much. There's so many ways I could go from that intro, the telling your story. First of all, I want to stop for a minute and I want to talk to our audience and to our listeners out there who've been following us for a while. And how many of you have felt invisible? And how many of you have been good at masking so nobody knew what was going on in your inside world? And yet you might go in the bathroom and let the tears or the screams or whatever else come out. And also you hit my heart when you said about a retreat, because that's something that I've worked on for years. And I've seen the power of it working. And when you hit empowerment, we're going to take you up on that a little later in our talk here. So many things, so many ways to connect. And what a wonderful story you have to share. Thank you.
Thank you. I am so grateful to be where I am today. There was a time when I thought I would never be happy again. And now I usually walk around with a big smile on my face because I am truly, genuinely happy and I feel fulfilled and I love my life. And all of this comes from the inside out. And that's something that's a common misconception, I believe, that people think it comes from the outside in. When my life is perfect, when I'm making this many dollars, when I've got this many followers on Facebook, when I have this, that, or the other, then I will be happy. And it doesn't work that way at all, does it, Jill?
No, it doesn't. And I've spent my own time of hiding and taking that long, long trip up that ladder. And you're grateful for the people in your life that passed the ladder down to you or listened to you.
Absolutely.
Whatever it took. Sometimes it takes a team to get you out of it. So thank you for your vulnerability and for sharing that. I lead a group of women called the Empowering Women Group. And we have three key words that we like to talk about. And the three key words are encouragement, inspiration, and empowerment. And what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to start with the word encouragement. Can you tell me a time when you were encouraged, or that you encouraged somebody else, or both?
Yes, absolutely. I have a wonderful friend. Her name is Leela, and she passed away from cancer a few years ago. I had the privilege of spending some of the last months of her life visiting with her. I would come over about once a week, and I would just, I couldn't make it all better. I couldn't take it away, but I would just sit and I would massage her hands and her feet and just listen to her while she discussed and talked about the reality of her mortality. And as she went through her life, and did I accomplish what I was here to do? And as I listened to her, the conversations that we had are one of the highlights of my life. I was there to encourage her and support her, but she influenced and blessed me.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. And that's another thing that I try to share with the women in my group is, you know, none of us really want to talk about death or dying, but the reality is none of us are getting out of here alive. If you don't look at it, then you can pretend it's not there and you can go your merrily way. But when you realize that it won't last forever and that your time is precious, and if you've got something you want to do, you better get at it and go for it.
There's a lot of truth to that. And having these conversations with Leela, it was very enlightening, because a lot of times, like you mentioned, we are in a little bit of denial. We live in the present. Sometimes we worry about the past, we worry about the future, but we tend to just think that it goes on forever. And as I had a chance to visit with her and think about, you know, what legacy am I leaving behind? How are my family going to handle this? How is it just, it made me, I don't know, recognize and think about my own mortality. What do I want to leave behind? Am I fulfilling my mission? Because now is my chance to do that.
Do you think most people hit some point in life, some event in life that wakes them up to their mortality?
I think we have lots of opportunities, but I don't think we all take. How about that?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I mean, you figure by the time you get to a certain age, perhaps you've lost one parent, maybe both. Perhaps you know somebody that had cancer or a serious illness. Perhaps you've had a large surgery. There are different ways that wake us up and say, hey, are you listening?
That's true.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm going to ask you about inspiration. Tell us a time when you were inspired or that you inspired somebody else or both.
Okay, I have a wonderful friend. Her name is Margaret, and she shared a story with me that just inspired me and made me want to be a little bit better. She was in a time in her life where she was trying to go back to school. And she had been in a career for many years, but she now needed to support her family, which meant she needed a little more education. And she had 8 kids. She was trying to just do everything and be everything and was totally and completely overwhelmed. She wasn't getting enough sleep, maybe 4 hours a night. And she just said, man, I feel like this is a losing battle. I work so hard. She says, I'd work so, so, so hard finishing a paper for school, and I'd show up and there was a note on the door that said, oh, I'm sorry, the instructor's sick. So, you know, just bring your assignment in on Friday. And she thought, I stayed up till 2 doing this. Or she'd go into work and she'd stayed up until, you know, 1 in the morning working on some project. And they'd say, oh, we changed our mind. We actually don't need that. And she was going crazy. And so as she was trying to figure out how to do this, she just kind of threw her hands up and hit her knees and said, I cannot do this. And she said, okay, I am going to turn my to-do list over to God. I am going to say, okay, this is what I have planned for the day. This is what I think needs to be done. Will you show me what matters and what things need to be done today and what can wait? And she said, as she continued to do that, amazing things happened. She was able to get the things done that mattered and still have time to be a sane human being and to be able to have connections with her kids. Because it seems that when we're so, so, so busy, it's usually our family that suffers. And so when I listened to her, and then she said she'd feel inspiration of, you know, I'm going to add something in there. Could you please take dinner over to so-and-so? And could you call this person? And as she would do those things, she was able to also incorporate service into her life, even though she was in such a busy, busy time. And I felt so grateful for her example and inspired that that's what I want to do and who I want to be.
Okay, very great. Thank you for sharing that. And as mothers, it's very easy to get to that overwhelmed. I think as women in general, we've been in that service role so often that we need to remember to be kind to ourselves and to take good care of our health and our emotional and physical and spiritual well-being along the way. Yeah, thank you. All right. Well, we're going to stop for a minute and hear a word from our sponsor. And when we come back, we'll talk about empowerment.
Hi, this is Jill McCarthy, or better known as the Geeky Grandma. And the Geeky Grandma with the Encouraging Nudge is all about encouragement. And maybe you've had a rough morning, maybe you've had a bad day, and you need some encouragement. Sometimes we get really, really down and we even need some professional help for that encouragement. But whatever your case, please listen to these stories and listen how others made it through those tough days and how they were encouraged.
We're back with our friend Linda Bjorg, and I hope I'm saying that name correctly. And she's going to talk about a time when she was empowered or that she empowered it. Somebody else, and feel free to put anything you do on empowerment in general into there if you wish.
Thank you, Jill. I'm excited about this question because this question is really what I am about. And I shared earlier my story of my sister who helped to empower me to be able to climb out of a dark place. And now this is my turn to be able to lower that ladder and to offer it to anyone who wants to get unstuck, anyone who wants to be happier, anyone who wants to manage their stress better, anyone who wants to improve their relationships, anyone who wants to feel like they matter, and anyone who wants to overcome feelings of depression and anxiety. All of those things, it's all kind of a package deal. As we improve our confidence. Now, you mentioned early when we're talking about that ladder that it feels like sometimes it takes a team, and it absolutely does take a team. But there's one person that's absolutely critical on that team, and that is yourself. It is actually not possible to get out of a deep, dark, stuck situation. We cannot heal without our consent. And it seems so strange. People think, well, of course I want to be better. But I've learned that we do, but our desire has to reach a tipping point. And the tipping point is when we want to change more than we want to stay the same. And we can tell when we've reached that tipping point because we're willing to do something about it. And so everything that I offer and that I teach in the Hope for Healing website, and please, I'd love to have people come. It's hopeforhealingfoundation.org. We have free ebooks. We have free audio courses, just tons of free resources to help people. But they include small, simple action steps, small things that we can do that make all of the difference. And if you have time, can I share a 5-minute morning routine that people can do that will just change everything?
Here, go for it.
Okay. So this is 4 parts. It is music, movement, words, and water. We can do it in 5 minutes. You get up, you do your music, movement, words, and water, and it changes everything. So the music is just pick a song, anything that you love, something that makes you feel good. Research shows that music affects our brain in more places than any other thing that we can do. It affects the way that we feel more than anything else. So there's a reason why, you know, people have playlists for when they go jogging, because it helps to get you going. They found that our brain waves actually synchronize somewhat to the beat of the music. So if we're feeling stressed and we listen to something calming, it can literally help our brain to calm down. If we're struggling with motivation, oh, I don't want to get up, I don't want to do this, I can't do anything. If we listen to positive, upbeat music, then it literally can help jumpstart our brains and get us going. So this music can help us just by listening to it. But instead of just listening, we're going to move along. And the music acts as a timer. Most songs are about 3 to 4 minutes long. So if you do some kind of exercise, and it doesn't matter what it is, it's something that you enjoy, you can just do normal exercises. If you like, you can do shadow boxing, you could do stretches, you could do Tai Chi, you could do yoga poses, you could just dance. That's really, really fun, just to dance for one song. And then you grab a notebook and you grab a piece of paper and a pen and write 5 things that you're grateful for. That's the words. And then after that, you just drink a glass of water. So doing these things, it's amazing because some people think, oh, gratitude journals, that's a nice thing for those happy little people who like to do that sort of thing. But the research shows that when we have a mindset of gratitude, it improves the neuroplasticity of the brain, which is absolutely necessary for any kind of healing and for any kind of growth. It's also very important for our resiliency and to be able to adapt to change. Also, having an attitude of gratitude, they've done lots of studies with fMRI scanners, and it stimulates the prefrontal cortex area of the brain, which is where our conscious thought takes place. And it helps us to be able to be in control of our lives rather than to be just reactive to things. It's like, oh yes, that part of my brain is there. Let's turn that on. And so it does so many amazing things. And there was a study done for people who are struggling with depression. And they said, okay, we just want you to write 3 things that you're grateful for each day. And then in 15 days, they came back and checked. and 94% of the participants had noticed a measurable change. They had gone from severely depressed, either to moderately or mildly depressed. It did not solve all of their problems, but it helped put them in a better place so that they could solve their problems. And then drinking water, oh my goodness, that's so important for our bodies and for our brains and for the conductivity of our brains. And our bodies are really like 73% water. And they found that if our brains are dehydrated by as little as 1%, then it actually starts affecting our mood and affecting its ability to function. And so we can have incredible return on investment for spending 5 minutes in the morning of doing music, movement, words, and water to help lower our stress levels, to improve our mood, to improve our health, to improve the way that we show up, which then helps in our productivity. It helps in our relationships. It helps everything that we do. But the magic has to be consistent. So you do that 5 minutes and that is wonderful. It's going to change the way you feel, but not forever. It's going to be a temporary improvement. And then if you do it again the next day, it's going to help you feel better again. And the next day, and the next day. And then we continue to change and grow and improve. And it is magical.
Very good. Thank you for sharing that. Several things were clicking in my head as I listened to you. And I know that music really affects me. And I'm somebody who I don't learn by listening. So it's kind of like in the back of my head, I say like on an 8-track and I'm dating myself, but I can put on that calm music in the background and I don't even have to really pay attention to it. It just gets in me and calms me down. And I remember I'm a retired elementary teacher. And when it got report card times, you know, there was so much work to get ready and done to be able to do the report cards. And I'm just dragging and, you know, up too late and all of that stuff. And I used to put, it's going to sound funny, but I would put the music to Aladdin on when the really, really upbeat and really moving fast. And it kind of like got my circulation pumping in and it got me going. I didn't have to listen to it forever, but it was a good way to get me started back into that. And there's so much to the science of behind that. I took a workshop one day in school and they were trying to show us how important water was to learning. And it was a workshop. We were off campus actually for the day and they brought a whole cooler full of water and they said, yeah, just keep drinking. It's free. Just keep drinking it all day. And we got in a circle at the beginning of the day and they had this special dial that was electrically wired inside and we all held hands. And at the beginning of the day, the dial did not light up. But during the day, we had been drinking water. They were just pushing it. And at the end of the day, there was enough electrical connectivity between all of us, the wires inside of that dial and the people on either side holding it, lit the dial up. And it was such an experience. It's like, I can't deny it. I just saw this dial couldn't light up in this morning. Now she's lit up like crazy. And don't we want our lives lit up? Yeah.
What a cool experiment.
Yeah, it was really neat. So, well, thank you for sharing that. And we will leave links to your site in the show notes so that people can check these out and check out your books. And we are going to ask you next about legacy. I heard you talking a little bit about it, but it was also one of our questions. And what kind of legacy do you want to leave behind? I'm not talking money, and I know you have children, so that's the legacy, but what about your life? What footprint do you want to leave to show us that you were here? Go for it.
I am a woman of faith. I am an advocate for hope and healing. I am a compassionate humanitarian. I am a gentle and powerful influence for good. And I am a servant leader. This is who I am. And this is the legacy that I choose to leave. I want to make people or invite people. I can't really make anyone do anything. I want to invite people to become their best selves.
Wow, that's powerful. I'm going to let those words sink in a little bit. And We're going to go back and hear another message from our sponsor. And when we come back, we're going to talk about your heart's desires.
If you're enjoying this podcast, then by all means, share it with your friends or your family members. If you're really, really enjoying it, then hit the subscribe button so our next episode will show right up on your favorite platform. And if you're really, really, really enjoying it, then by all means, then leave feedback on Apple Music, iTunes, or wherever you listen to this podcast. Now back to our show.
Now we're back with our friend Linda again, and she's going to tell us about her heart's desires and how she's already been working towards them and what she wants to continue doing in the future.
So my heart's desires is really to empower people to become their best selves. I want to help people who feel stuck to be able to get unstuck. I want to help people who feel like they're not good enough and that they don't matter to recognize their self-worth and to be able to be confident and happy and joyful. I want people who are struggling with depression and anxiety to be able to feel happy and calm and peaceful. And I want relationships to improve. I just want to make the world a better place, one by one, from the inside out.
And as we do that for others, it also touches us when we're doing what we've been called to do. It gives, but it also, we receive as well.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Beautiful win-win situation. And I would love to build on that for just a minute, if that's okay, because I was of the opinion, I've always been service-minded, but I thought it was very much a one-way street where I am supposed to serve others. I am kind of a slave, really. I'm just a doormat, maybe. I just help people. That's my job. And to realize that's not actually the way that it's supposed to be. There is a better way. And that is that I can serve from a better place when I feel like my worth is not determined by my service. My worth is not determined by what I produce. It's not determined by my to-do list. It's not determined by my popularity or the amount of money that's in my bank account. I have worth and value when I'm doing nothing. And that's pretty amazing. And then when we recognize that internal value, then I can serve from a better place and I can make a bigger difference. And it's okay for it to be a give and receive. And that is very important because I have friends who are still in that I can give, but I can't receive. And it hurts my heart now as I see it from the outside and recognize you're wearing yourself out. You are destroying yourself. And I know that it comes from a place of generosity and kindness, but it is not healthy and it is not sustainable because we cannot give from an empty cup. And we have to be able to allow ourselves to receive in order to be able to continue to serve others.
Very good. Wow. Let me ask you one last question. And it's basically, it's a sum up whatever last word you'd like to give them, but I'm going to put a spin on it. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes a minute. Now, I've heard you say the word matter, that you matter, several times today. And what I'd like you to pretend you're a person who doesn't know that they matter. That they've tried hard, they've been the perfectionist, they've been the goody two-shoes, they've tried to do what everyone told them, but way down deep, they don't feel like they matter. And I want you to speak to them, to speak to this audience, to speak to that, even one person who needs to hear this message today. You can speak from your heart, you can open your eyes or leave them closed, whichever you want. How could you convince somebody with your words that they matter, that you know what they feel like?
That is actually my first comment, is that one, I understand how that feels. And if you feel that way, you need to know that you're not alone. And then my second part is that there is hope to change those beliefs. I think that no healing comes without hope. When we're trapped in a dark place and we think there's no way out, it's very challenging. All it takes is a tiny, tiny little sliver of hope to open up and crack that case that something is possible. So for today, because I recognize that this is a big challenge and someone can tell you that you have value, that you have worth. They might say, oh, you're a child of God. They might say all these things. And when people would tell me compliments, it actually hurt. It actually hurt because I knew they were lies. And I knew that if they knew the real me, then they would know I was garbage. Now, coming from that place, I understand that it is hard. And just saying words is not going to change it. All I can do is offer an invitation, the smallest, smallest invitation, to allow yourself to open up a tiny sliver of hope that what you are believing is actually not the truth. Just stop there. Don't try to do the whole thing in one chunk. You can't eat an elephant at one bite. But if you can at least open your heart and your mind just to the possibility that what you are believing about yourself is not true, that's a good place to start. If you want to continue to go through this process of recognizing your value, which I hope you do, again, I invite you, come and learn more. I know Jill has lots of beautiful resources. I have lots of resources. My story is in my book, Crushed, A Journey Through Depression. And it is real. It is raw. And it is messy. It's not a cute, fluffy, edited book. I've had so many readers say, whoa, I cannot believe you said that. Can't believe you didn't edit that out. You have made yourself so vulnerable. But I'm so glad you did, because I felt that way. And they feel seen. And they feel heard, and they feel understood. And I think that is a starting place from that place of worthlessness, is to recognize that you are seen, you are heard, you are valued and understood. And then from there, you say, oh, well, this is what they did. Well, I could try that. And here's the cool thing. There is more than one right way to fix things. There is more than one right way to heal. So I can share lots and lots of wonderful things that you can do, and you get to pick the ones you like.
Absolutely. That feels like it needs a big amen. Thank you. Thank you for that rawness, that vulnerability. I trust that our message gets to the audience that needs to hear it most.
Oh, I hope so.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jill.
Bye.
See you in the funny papers. Bye-bye for now.